tell you what, you just sit back and you watch, and you're going to be moved in such a way that you've never been moved before. Because what really started this was Charlie Kirk.
Oh.
I heard about Charlie, I heard what happened to Charlie, and I thought, this guy was so committed, there's got to be something about this. And I said, well, that's exactly right. And I said, so there, later on, which one was it? Was the guy that gave the first bit of course? Right. Guy from Chattanooga? Chattanooga, Calvary Chapel. He gave an invitation. And Neil was the first guy to stand up.
Oh.
And he sat back and he gave his heart to the Lord, served his heart to the Lord. And then a couple other guys, they didn't make great, they did the whole invitation. And then later on, when Ken Graves is up there, Ken Graves is talking about, well, making a deeper commitment to the Lord and walking with the Lord. I looked down, he stands up again.
He left on fire, huh?
Yeah, he left on fire. So I went up to him at the dinner, when we were all having dinner, and I said, yeah. He looked at me, yeah. I said, I saw you, brother. Yeah, man. He said, yeah, yeah. So,
hallelujah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
We're doing worthy of it all.
We're doing, here I am to worship first. Mm-hmm. Oh, it isn't? Oh, well, let's change it then. I'm sorry. I got those two confused. Let's keep it the way we had it. I misunderstood it or whatever.
Okay.
Oh, good. Okay. And then here I am to worship. Is that after that? Is that next? What's next? Okay. I think it should be, thank you, Jesus, for the blood.
Third. That's last.
King of Heaven is last.
Okay.
Yes, that should be third. That should be third.
That's third, but that's not mine.
No.
Right?
Mark is doing...
Here I am to worship, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
hey, you know what? I just have to hit the bathroom real quick.
I'm sorry. Not allowed.
I'm really, really hot. Can you turn on the fans when you're back there?
Yeah.
From an air gun.
Ow.
He said, and then he shows the next picture, and there's no, he's got his pants off, and all you see is the nail. I mean, this indented. It's like indented into his
femur.
Yeah, femur. He said, I guess you want to know how I did it. Well, I have to tell you how I did it. He said, first off, it hurt. He said, and I made lots of noise, man noises.
He said, manly noises.
Manly noises. I didn't cry. Roar!
Would you give these to Sandy because she
did really happen?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He was putting up a piece of wood and he was down for his air gun, and the only thing he could get was the hose.
Oh.
So I'm on the scaffold, I'm holding the piece of wood up. He said, so I sling it up and I'm going to grab it. And he said it was fumbling, so I held my knee up and tried to catch it, and and it takes two triggers. You got the one trigger up at top. The trigger that the same pressure trigger that shoots the nail. So he grabbed that, he had that, and he put his leg up and went,
and it nails his muscle in place, and now he can't move his leg because the muscle's locked in place to the bone.
Oh my God.
And he said, I'm on the left. He said, I'm on the operating table. They made me do all kinds of yoga positions to get my knee up there to so they can x-ray it and see if there's any blood vessels or arteries involved. He said, there wasn't. He said, how are you going to get it out?
With the hammer?
He said, clean pair of pliers.
Ouch.
Oh. He said, what?
They went down to the maintenance room and got a pair of pliers.
And sanitized it.
Ducked into the alcohol and
sanitized it and came up.
He didn't say that they numbed it or anything.
Well, he said they gave him something. He said it was like a bear tranquilizer. He said, I told you wouldn't remember anything. He said, I remember all of it. I couldn't do anything about it. I couldn't move, but I remember all of it.
Oh,
it hurt.
Poor thing. Well, he's got a good story.
Oh, boy.
Of God's.
When he was teaching on about Jacob leaning on his staff.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
Perfect.
To bring it into that application. Because all I could see was the kid there with his nail in his leg.
That would hurt.
Let's pray, huh?
Yes.
Awesome, wonderful God. How great it is for us to stand in your presence. How great it is, Lord, you say we are the beloved. How good that you say that it's heaven is finished. Then, Lord, that we can come and bring our best before you, Lord. We thank you that, Lord, everything else is going to burn. We thank you that, Lord, that what you give to us is life and it more abundantly. We thank you. So we ask that, God, that you help us convey that as we practice, as we worship, as we love one another.
Thank you,
Jesus.
That
you love us. Anoint us now for
yes,
good service.
We pray,
Jesus.
God.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you. All right. So what's the tempo in this, Randy? Could you remind me? Okay.
Yeah, but
I have number one.
Play an F chord.
An F. I can't hear the keyboard.
Something was wrong there, yeah.
But are we starting at the chorus?
Yes, we're gonna start at the intro. This is in key of F.
Yeah, what's our key?
You don't
of
have
F?
The key of F.
This is yeah.
No.
Man.
F?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that F?
But where are we starting? Here or here?
But it's not an F starting, it's a B flat.
That's not an F, that's a B flat.
It says B flat.
Oh,
let me go make a couple.
I don't have a B flat. I don't have a B flat on this page.
You and I have a B flat.
I'll be right back.
Yeah, we did it
Wednesday.
I got.
That's not what I got.
I got.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's the
same
problem. I guess it's the verse. R says.
She's starting an intro with the verse, yeah.
Yeah, but R says starts at the chorus.
Right.
So.
Times two, repeat at the end, but. Well. We'll learn something new every day. I'm just hoping my band-aid stays on. I know. Put a screw in my finger.
What? You heard the story about the guy with
yeah,
the
I was there. I saw it, yeah. I know.
Thank you. I've got a new one.
Alrighty. Well, Randy was on key.
Yeah. Hey, that's 50% of
it.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, Daddy. Yeah, okay.
Are we doing the intro?
Yes.
Okay.
From you are open, and to you are.
I.
That was tough. Look, you guys want to cut that out?
It was like you were going, Mark was going.
Yeah, we weren't sure. I was going fast through it. Yeah, I was going really fast through it. Let's cut that part out, okay? Yeah, I was thinking that too.
Casey.
So we're gonna cut that, all the instrumentals out, except for the intro.
Right.
Okay, so then we got 1, 2, 3. So that's number 4. So is there the glory? Okay, so then.
3 to 5.
Yeah, 3 will then, 5 will then be 4, okay? And then 6 will be 5.
Yeah, if we had more time, you know, you guys could work it out.
7 will be 6.
It's just, it's too hard.
And then 8 will be 7, okay? Okay. Yeah. Okay. We can come back to that one.
Yeah. And the next one is worthy of it. No, wait a minute. Oh, that's the other worthy of it all sheet.
Next one.
Okay.
Do you have a copy for Sandra on that one?
No, I don't.
Not to say next week. You know, this way I know what we need.
Yeah, you know, I've thought that for a long time.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of time.
Right. Nobody else does either. Except for you. Don't count you out, huh? Okay, so whenever
we're getting
you're
a little rainy.
Oh, yeah. A little bit, huh?
All right, you got to set the time on this, buddy. Yeah, this is.
Upon that cross, I'll never know. D? Oh, okay. I see it.
Okay, so we...
I didn't know where to work.
After here, after the bridge.
Nice, Mark.
Oh, thank you.
Good job.
Back.
Everybody's sending it.
Times two, back to course. Yeah, it... Okay, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. Tempo is a 6-1. What's that, Randy?
And this is a this is a two-pager.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Mine says
4-4. Oh, that doesn't. The wrong thing. Okay. Okay.
That was your age.
From the far side of the camp.
Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Then to my heart was the blood.
Now, after verse 3, do we go back to the chorus or go
yes.
right to the bridge?
Yes, to the chorus.
Okay. Because I went to the bridge. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
3. And then after that, after the chorus, we go to the bridge.
Yeah. Does that sound right to you? We don't have to go back to the chorus.
No, I'm just wanted to follow you because I messed up.
Oh, okay. I just put
to chorus.
Yeah.
Rosie, in the first part of the song, you were kind of singing soft.
Yeah, I couldn't,
because
couldn't
I'm
really
trying
hear
to save my voice.
Yeah, I understand. So I turned you up.
Okay.
So just be careful because it's pretty hot right now.
Well, I'm just trying to save my voice because usually I do it with all my heart in the practice, and then when it comes to do it, I don't have a voice.
So what you do is you kind of sing it like you've been singing it with just a little, but then
back
you
off.
Need to bring it.
Okay.
So just know that it's a lot harder.
Okay. All right. If I don't have a voice after that, then we'll stop there, okay? But if I have a voice, we'll do the hymn of heaven.
Okay.
Unless somebody else wants to sing it.
Randy and Scott can sing it, that one. Randy's
yeah.
got first pick, yeah.
Okay, so it'll just,
it's in the
yeah.
key of F, and I totally rejected that after I got out of high school because I was
okay.
so used to getting it.
Okay. Okay, let's try it. Okay. Yeah, mine too. Okay. Just the F. How I long to breathe the air of heaven. The pain is gone, and mercy fills the stream. Before you.
got to write on it 2 pages.
Oh, you're where you're just looking. Now where is she going? Huh? What 2 slides do you have?
She'll probably do that course two at the end twice then, probably.
You want right? copies of these?
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We don't play that, huh?
She held F. Yeah, she did. She held the F a couple.
No. Look at the course two, third line up from the bottom.
Right.
Holy, holy is the Lord. So B flat C.
All right. First 2 lines.
I'm playing it.
Holy is the Lord, holy is the Lord. Only on the last one do we not have the F. I mean the
D minor.
The D minor.
I'm not talking about the D minor, I'm talking about this F right
yeah,
there.
We got it.
Play that for me.
I don't have it anywhere.
You ain't got it?
I don't play it, but that's okay. I don't have it on mine.
I don't think anybody's playing it.
I'm playing.
You're not playing
I'm
it.
I'm playing it. I think I'm playing. I don't know. You don't think I am?
No,
you
have a different key.
He's
in the key of G. Randy's got the key of G.
The drums are off.
That's what it is. Randy's playing a G.
Okay.
Randy, you better get with it.
2 pages. Okay. That's good.
Okay. All right, so do we need to go over that one, or are we okay with it? Okay. Oh, okay. Because we're going to skip the instrumental. Okay.
And thank you, Jesus, for the blood is 2 pages also.
Yeah, there's 2 pages.
So the last 2 are 2 pages. I got to write it down. 2 pages. Okay. Yep, good. Very good. Thank you.
I came prepared. No, and then I can't sing if I sit. I do that at home, and it's like, woo! Yeah.
You know, I know what I did wrong.
What'd you do wrong?
I always, when it's a two-pager, I put the second page on top of the first page because that moves to the right.
Oh.
And it's only the sing one page, you know. You know what I mean? Because you always got to move them over.
I don't know because I keep mine in these little folders. You know? So that's what I do.
So you just. Just an old rock and roller.
Rock and roller.
Dion and the Belmonts? Oh, yeah.
He became a Christian, you know, a long time ago.
Yeah.
Okay, feel caggy. All right, it was kind of like you working at the Hollywood Bowl or wherever you were working. It wasn't the Hollywood Bowl, but someplace where the big concerts came, you said. Okay. Yes. Okay, are we ready? Here we go.
Thank you.
job, everybody. I just want to jump in that water. I don't know about you guys. Especially you.
I thought you were talking about that out there.
You would want to jump in that water. It's like, I want to jump in that water. It looks so refreshing and calm and everything. With a big shark under there. No.
They're alligators. They don't.
There's alligators. I don't know about you guys, but I did not go to see the 50th anniversary of Jaws. Did you? I don't want to think about them being out there. That thing scared
never,
me for 50 years. I don't want to be scared 50 more.
When that first came out.
Oh, my God.
Remember that, honey?
The negative impact that had on our business was amazing.
I bet it was.
I can't even imagine.
People were scared to death. Okay,
we're moving.
I know, it's fake. When he ate the helicopter in the second one, then I knew it wasn't true. The helicopter.
Well, when I saw Jaws 10 when the shark was chasing the water skier 30 knots, I gave up.
Yeah,
we've seen some pretty big fish out in the ocean.
Yeah, we went on a Universal tour with our boys when they were little, and they had the shark come and try to eat our little boat. He jumped up with his mouth. All right.
I can't hear anything.
That's a Pink Panther.
That's all the way up.
You don't miss much.
Oh, you know what? My red light's blinking. I'm wondering if I need a battery.
Oh, man, I bought batteries for
what time? I was muted? That's better.
I know you never were turned on.
Wow.
Well, I know this was on. I heard that. That was on, honey. That is blinking. I'm going to have to.
That means battery low?
Battery's low, yeah.
I thought you just changed it.
I put one in 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I left it here and it might.
Oh, plugged in?
I thought I unplugged it.
Yeah, I think you unplugged it.
I owe you those lithium batteries that I bought in another box.
You don't owe me anything.
Yeah, I told you I'd get you some.
Hey, that's right. I heard you got. Did you get a horse? Hey, Bob. Phil, Jim, John.
No, you were right.
Bob.
Man, always. One thing I said when I was teaching: always go with your first answer. That's usually right.
What did you teach?
Oh, let's see. I taught 2 years worth of middle school science.
You
got your cubs? I do not. I don't have to arrest people anymore.
Check with the music director. Let me introduce you.
He's busy.
Anytime, and I got news for you. If your instrument's a voice, they're going to grab you and give you a signing bonus.
Well, today, this morning, it sounds more like a diesel truck, but well,
I don't have a voice. I don't sing. So you see that microphone is upside down?
I do.
That's got your name all over it.
Right. Or flute clarinet.
Good morning. Yes, sir.
Morning, church.
Good morning.
I love the sweet time of fellowship everybody is going on in here, so that's sweet. And just we continue to go through a few things, what's going on in the course of this week here in Calvary Chapel of the Country. And the first thing we're going to look at is prayer before service. It goes on every Sunday and every Wednesday. Sunday at 10 o'clock, there's a prayer room in the back. And on Wednesday evenings, there's prayer that's going on at 6:30. And if you have any questions or you want to be a part of that, please see Sandra, who's back there, or Mark, and they've been more than happy for you to join them. Today's Communion Sunday, so we'll be celebrating the Lord, his shedding of his blood and his sacrifice, and that's always a great time as we enter into his presence. We meet every Wednesday evening here in the sanctuary at 7 o'clock, and we're in the book of 2 Chronicles. Dan is teaching that. So I encourage you to come out and be a part of that. Again, every Wednesday evening, there's a Bible study going on here, and Pastor Dan should be leading that most times. Prayer meeting on Thursday evening, that's headed up by Barry. And there's details of a prayer, submit a request, and Barry will be able to pray for that. And if you have any concerns or questions of how do I be a part of this, please see Barry. Barry's in the back there, and he'd be more than happy to point you in the right direction. Men, you know, we had the men's conference yesterday, and that was always a sweet time of men gathering together, lifting the name of Jesus up, entering into his presence, sitting under great teachings, and great fellowship and encouraging one another. So, again, that's something in the future I've always encouraged you to be a part of that. But the men's prayer breakfast is coming up, and we meet every second Saturday of the month, and it's about faith, food, and fellowship. But there's a sign-up sheet in the back. And the sign-up sheet is for what you're going to bring. If the Lord is moving in your heart to bring something, right now we're requesting eggs, requesting bacon. But another request that I'm putting out there is if you want to be part of the cooking team, okay? Now, men, I know you like to grill, okay? But take that desire that you love the grill and bring it in here and help cook the breakfast on the second Saturday of each month. But there's a sign-up sheet. So if you have any questions, please see me or Randy, and we point you right in the direction and get you involved. Titus 2 class that's going on. Ladies, there's a sign-up sheet that we've begun for a free wee teddy bear knitting class. I'm not going to repeat that. Lead by Christina Marone. And it'll be from 1 to 3 o'clock, October 25th. So I encourage you to be a part of that. Night of Praise, church. It's going on October 31st at 5:30. Fret not about the darkness. And it'll be a covered dish dinner. And what that will involve is you're going to share, if God has put in your heart, maybe share a scripture verse, share a testimony, a song, a praise, whatever happens to be. We encourage you to be a part of that and be involved with it and be connected. Thanksgiving Sunday dinner, November 23rd. It's following the service. So, again, we celebrate together as a family immediately after that Sunday service on November 23rd. Save the date. A covered dish. There will be sign-ups for a traditional feast will begin in November. So I encourage you to be a part of that. As far as tithe and offerings go and giving, we have two offering boxes in the sanctuary here, in the back of the sanctuary. And there's one on the other side of the door. So if the Lord moves and encourages you, again, it's an opportunity to give back to the Lord. So why don't we go to the Lord in prayer? And Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing, Lord. You continue to move through this room, touch hearts and change lives, Lord. Lord, we lift up the service today. We lift up the worship team, Lord God. And Lord, be with them, Lord, and just as they help us enter into your presence, Lord. And we lift up Pastor Dan, a fresh anointing, a fresh touch, to share your word. And Lord, give us ears to hear, Lord God, to receive what you have in store for us today. And use those tithes and offering, Lord, to further your kingdom, to bring you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Shall we stand as we begin to worship the Lord? Lord, we thank you. We love you. We praise you this morning, Lord. Please We pray that you be blessed by our love for you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you for the rain that's come after the long, hot week. And we just bless you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord.
Bow before this heart adore you over a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to earth, you created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am. Altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
I was rich, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide, left behind heaven's throne to build it here in time. There at the cross, you paid the debt I owe, broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Transformed by the blood of the Lamb.
For your faithfulness to love us, oh God. Even when we are messed up, Lord God, you still love us. And we thank you, Lord, that you never give up on us and that you're faithful to love us all of our lives, oh God. And we thank you for Jesus and the great sacrifice that he made for us, oh God, so that we might be in your family forever.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you, Lord, for that. And we pray your blessing now upon one another and upon your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Say hello to someone.
Hey. Scott unplugged.
Hey, Randy, can you turn up the lights a little more? There you go. Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see everybody this morning. It's been quite an adventure going through the book of Revelation, hasn't it been? We've learned a lot, we've seen a lot, and we're going to see a lot more. And so this morning we'll be picking up in chapter 19. We're going to do a review of the just two verses and then pick up the last verse here in chapter 19, verse 7 through 9. And this is really a chapter that we're going to do a expositional topical. So, and there's a lot in this that we want to make sure that we understand and hear. All right, Lord, we come this morning and we love you. We thank you for this word of yours. We thank you how, Lord, as you put your finger upon it and then you put your finger upon our hearts, that, Father, we see, we understand, Lord, there is a response. Every time you give your word, there is to be a response. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. And when the Spirit speaks, Lord, we are to be moved to a response. And so, Lord, this morning I pray for your word to come forth in the power of your Spirit, Holy Spirit. And I pray for our hearts to respond and to listen. And it be intent, because there is a word within the word that is going to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So you remember from last week, as we were going through, the scene had changed and John had witnessed the end of the religious Babylon and the commercial Babylon and the beginning of God, of the worship of a great multitude there in heaven, beginning with the 24 elders and then the four living creatures. And along with the multitude, they're all falling down and they're worshiping God and saying, Alleluia. You know, let's say that. Alleluia. Doesn't that set well with, is well with my soul. Alleluia. All of heaven, it says, Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. You know what? I'm so glad he does. No matter what's going on around us, no matter what seems like this world is doing, my Lord God omnipotent reigns. I love to come under his covering. And that's exactly where this whole scenario is going. The scene changes again. And then there's this announcement of the marriage of the son to his wife. And then the multitude say there in verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her, speaking of the Lamb, it was granted to be the wife of the Lamb, to be granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the linen, fine linen, is the righteous acts of the saints, which we covered last week. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called. That's really the focus of where we're going to be today. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. When God speaks, there's nothing greater than what he says. There's no other word. There's no other thing that is greater than God. If God speaks, then we need to pay attention. The problem with the world today is they're not paying attention. God is speaking. And he's speaking through, first of all, the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, through the people of God, through the nature that God has created. And as he does, the world is rebelling back. They're pushing back. They don't want to hear this. And so blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. True are these sayings of God. This is true. This is happening. We are there. So they declare, let's be glad and rejoice, and for the marriage of the Lamb has come. In other words, has come is a very important portion of that verse. It means this. This has been a long time coming. You know, we've been saved. I don't know, some of us have been saved a long time. Some of us not so long. But even with that, I've been saved for over 50 years, something like that. I can't remember exactly. And I thought, man, the Lord was coming at that first year I got saved. Everything was going upside down. You remember back in the 60s and the 70s, and things were nuts. You know, I was in with the nuts. As a matter of fact, I lived in the land of the fruits and the nuts. I'm just I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. But anyway, things are changing, and they're changing quickly, and they're challenging us what kind of people we should be. As we see these things coming upon us, what kind of people should we be? So they're glad, they're rejoicing because this time has come for the marriage of the Lamb. And it's a blessed saying of the Lord that he said to us, that God has said to us. You remember from last week that there was a special garment for those who were a part of the wedding, for the first beginning with the bride and then the guest. The Jewish people, in their celebrations and in their ceremonies, in their festivals, they are all to be, and everything about them is to be an illustration to us. That they're to bring an understanding of what's coming up, especially the Jewish wedding. It's to be an illustration of what's coming up before the tribulation, during the tribulation, and after the tribulation. It's interesting, if you look at a Jewish wedding, it's very prophetical in its nature and the sequence of its nature there. In verse 9, when it says, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb, that brings up a good question, doesn't it? Who is it that's called? Who are those that are called? Within this calling of God upon humanity, the three groups of people. The first group are those who have already lived and that have lived and that are going to be alive. That's everybody. It's all, everybody that's whoever lived. That's the first call. Come. Now, I want you to remember that this is a gospel here in Matthew. It's of Matthew 22, verse 8 and 10, speaking of this marriage supper and this Lamb of the Lamb. Matthew is a Jewish gospel to the Jews. But it speaks to the church for understanding and enlightenment of the will and the heart of God. But it's speaking specifically to the Jews. And so they have to take in heart of this, in light of this, to see and look at the marriage of a Jew in the ancient Judaism of their weddings. And in Matthew chapter 22, verse 8 through 10 in particular, then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Who were they that were invited? The Jews. They were invited, but they rejected their Messiah. They didn't, but they're not worthy. But the thing is that, what does that say to the people that are outside of Judaism, the Gentiles, the people that are walking around? Is God not calling us too? Yes, he is. He's calling everyone to come. But this specifically speaks of them, but it also speaks to those who have a decision to make. So the question is, what is it that makes us worthy? Answering the call. You answer the call, you're worthy. If God says, come unto me, all you are heavy and laden, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. When we do that and pick up your cross and deny yourself and follow me, you receive me. You've answered the call. The call of Jesus had come. And we said, okay. And once we did, what happened when we did? Did you get a blessing? You did. Why? Because you saw a sacrifice, didn't you? You saw a sacrifice that wasn't you, it was him. And when you saw that sacrifice, your heart broke. My heart broke. Because I knew that should have been me. That should have been me. Answering the call. So going on, it says, therefore go into the highways and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found. Whosoever will, you could put in there. Whosoever will, call upon the name. Went out to whom they found, both bad. Okay, wait a minute. You mean bad guys are going to get in heaven? Oh, yeah. Bad guys are going to get in heaven. Why? Because they answer the call. And good. Well, the good are the ones that are walking and they're trying to walk with the Lord and said, yeah, they're fine. They're trusting him. And there's, but you know what? They're going to be right alongside those guys that are at the last minute going, I don't love Jesus. I don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. Oh, I'm so sorry. And then they're going, Lord, save me. And boom. Either rapture or death, whatever happens, they go before the Lord. And then it says, and then wedding hall was filled with guests. In Matthew chapter 25, you remember the story of the 10 virgins? And they had their lamps. And five of them just kind of squandered the oil, that place where they had a responsibility. They neglect it. And they think, oh, well, we got enough. It'll be enough. You know, he's delayed his coming. We can hang out like this. But the other ones were wise, and they managed their time and their energies and their responsibilities. And they didn't use up their oil, but the other five did. And then they came, and the groom was coming. They go, give us some of your oil. No, you go get your own. We took care of ours. You got it. Well, the reason why is because they neglected because of they weren't concerned. Status quo. Same old, it's going to be the same. So they just did that. That's how come. So that's the second group. Matthew 22:14. Many are called, but few are chosen. The chosen are the ones who respond. The chosen are the one who say, yes, Lord. The chosen, the third group, that they answer the call. If you're here this morning and you've answered the call, then you're in that group. If you haven't, well, come see me afterwards. And we'll make sure that you get in. I got to talk to a Jewish guy at the conference that wasn't saved, sitting next to me. And it was wondrous. It was glorious. And then that towards the end, they did an altar call. I don't want to say his name, but his last name was Solomon. He got saved. It was awesome. It was so great to sit there and talk with this guy and just listen to him and then watch him come and meet the Lord. It was such a great, glorious experience. And the guys that were at the conference, you know, he was the first guy that stood up. You guys remember him? Yeah, he was the only one for it. But as soon as that call came, and I remember him saying, I don't know, I don't know. And I go, well, you know, you're going to have an opportunity. And I'm excited for you, Neil. Everybody called him Neil Armstrong, but, you know, I'm sorry, I said his name. He's a precious guy. He stands up, he's in the family. And if the trumpet sounds and the shout comes, he's going to be right alongside us as we go ballistic into heaven. Isn't that great? So my point to all of this is to show how important to understand the rapture, the marriage of the Lamb, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and how important is it for us to have a good understanding of what goes on in, before, and after the Jewish wedding. Because it's an illustration. It's a prophetical illustration, practical illustration that's been given to us. So we're going to be camping out here for a while. So my first question is, if the church is raptured in chapter 4 of Revelation and begins her 7-year honeymoon, why doesn't the marriage feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb, why isn't it mentioned here until chapter 19? Well, that's where we're going to answer that. It's in the wedding. It's in that marriage wedding of the Jewish wedding. Back then, the Jewish wedding was made up of four stages: the engagement, the betrothal, the wedding itself, and finally the wedding feast or the wedding supper. So you have four things that are involved in there, in the Jewish wedding. Historically, Jewish children were often engaged at the age of 2 or 3 years old. And the reason is, in the Jewish mindset, was because it was far too important of a thing of their life to entrust this to a young person. They make, you know, young kids make, I did, make stupid decisions. And young kids today make stupid decisions. So their fathers would get together. One said, Eliezer, yes, Yaakov. I have a son, I have a daughter. How old is she? She's 3. How old is he? He's 2. Oh, they're just right. Okay. Yeah. So after 10 or 12 years came the engagement. The two fathers had already made the agreement, but then now comes the engagement. And then the betrothal. And most likely the two kids, they'd never met. They never, don't. What's your name? Matthew. What's your name? Elizabeth. Oh. Don't know you. Well, guess what? You're my wife. So by the time the betrothal takes place, the young lady is going to be either 12 or 15 years old. We go, what? And it's at that time that the groom would meet for the first time the bride's father. First time. And then the groom's father would begin to negotiate a price for the bride. And so this price was based upon three things: the wealth of the father. Okay, well, here comes the son, his father. He's got to pay this price for this bride, the wealth of the father. How rich is our father? How rich is our father? And what's he willing to pay for a bride for his son? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. High price to pay for the humanity that had betrayed him in the garden. And from that time on, the battle of sin. And the father says, it's worth every ounce to pay the high price for this bride. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he loves us. Isn't that glorious? He loves us so much that he would do that he would give his only son at a high price. And second, the price of the bride would be based upon her beauty, her worthiness, her talents, her gifts. Oh, wait a minute. I think God got a gyp deal. Because I look at us, and for some of you, you know, Paul says, and he talks to this whole list of everybody that has come short of the glory of God, and he goes, and such were some of you. Well, God says, no, I don't see that. In the light of the blood of Christ, when he looks at us, he sees us finished and glorious. We are the glorious bride. What we are now is not what we shall be. But when we see him, what? We shall be like him. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you shall be changed. Whoa. God sees that. And so he's going, okay, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. And the third and final thing that determined the price of the bride is the groom's income. Well, how rich is our Savior? He owns everything. So it's a pretty high cost, a pretty high price for this bride. An interesting thing about the price for the bride is that the portion of the price went into the security type trust fund for her, just in case she was divorced or she was widowed. And it was given to the bride's father. Now, all the money wasn't to be, you know, it couldn't be paid up front. I mean, if it was really, really big, they could, you know, pay it in installments. They could pay, do a down payment, earnest money, and put it on God's layaway plan kind of thing for the bride. So as this earnest money was paid, They would draw up a contract. Okay. Drawing up a contract. They'd sign it. They'd validate it. The bride and groom would come in. You know, remember, they're around 12, 15 years old now. And they're in agreement. They're there. Here's this agreement. There is a contract. There is a covenant. And they would come in and sign it. And then the bride and groom would come over and take little, these kids, 15-year-olds, 12-year-olds, whatever. They'd take a sip of wine. One sip. Sealing it. This is part of what we agree with. And it would seal their betrothal at that point. I just hope you're beginning to see something here, why the sequence of the Jewish wedding is so relevant to us as believers, and how it is in the sequence of the rapture, of us in the tribulation, or we're not in the tribulation, or us at the end. Where are we? And how it's important and how it relates to us. First of all, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it's not up here, but it will be, that we were bought with a price. We're not our own. Just like the bride, there's a time span between the down payment of the earnest money for the bride and the actual wedding. So we're in that place right now. But there's a promise. Tarry in Jerusalem till the promise of the Father comes. Who is the promise? Who is the earnest to show you belong to me? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. He's the down payment for us to say, I want to show you. His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a son, I'm a daughter of God. I belong to Him. And it's there to prove, to say to me, you belong to me. All of our redemption, now we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, pure and simple, right off. But right now, is your body redeemed? It's not. But the one day it will be redeemed. Paul says in Romans 8:23. So we're waiting for that final redemption, but until then, the Lord sends the Holy Spirit as a down payment, an earnest to say, you belong to me. You're mine. You're mine. We're on His layaway plan. And just like the bride, the contract has been signed. You know how it's signed? We're going to take communion today. It's signed in the blood of Christ. That's how it's signed. And it validates the new covenant. Luke 22:20, likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant, the new contract in my blood, which is shed for you. So this is our contract, the blood of Christ. That's how come we sing about the blood. That's how come we talked about nothing but the blood. It's an interesting thing that Randy and I were talking about this. Do you know that on radio stations, Christian radio stations, they won't play songs. They move away from songs. I shouldn't say they don't play songs, but they shy away from songs about the blood because it's too controversial. It shakes too many people up. Well, that's good. People need to get shook up. They need to be shook up about the sacrifice that it took to save us. It needs to be the understanding of the martyrs that have taken place throughout history, that they'd shed their blood for not denying, not bowing down, and saying, I quit. We just had Charlie Kirk. But you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and I'll tell you what, you better have a box of hankies there. As you read these men that would be there, and they would refuse at the admonition of these people, deny and you'll live. No, I'll never deny him. As they either burned them or they tortured them or whatever they did. And the first one was my Savior. And then Stephen. And then from then on, all the way up to where we are today. Are we any different? What manner of people should we be for this time of life? We're living in a time where light Whatever is good is bad, and whatever is bad is good. Exchanging light for darkness, and people are loving the darkness rather than the light, lest they come to the light and their deeds be exposed, Jesus said. We're living in a critical time. It's called the time of Jacob's troubles, just before the tribulation. It's just the setup of the stage of things that are going to be taking place. I want to make sure you got your seatbelts on, okay? Because the rapture is very, very close to where we are. So look up, for your redemption is right around the corner. It's right there. Jesus said, when these things happen, when it gets like this, when you start seeing others, believers falling, you see Israel, you see Jerusalem surrounded, look up. Get ready. Be ready. And so like the bride and groom, we've sipped that little sip of wine, and we do that when we take communion, agreeing with the covenant. Do you know that's what you're doing when you take communion? You're agreeing with the covenant. You're agreeing that the blood was enough to save you. You're agreeing that the contract has brought me in. You're agreeing that the price of what he did was enough to unify me with him. And it's been paid. I'm okay. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 6:19 that I mentioned earlier. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you? Remember the earnestness? Remember that he sent the Holy Spirit? Wait for the promise of the Father. We're there. That's the promise that we belong to him. Whom you have from God. And you are not your own. Now, see, this is what we're saying here. Now, this bride, as she took this and as she took that sip of that wine, that says, now I belong to him, nobody else. He's mine and I'm his. And that's it. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In other words, your decisions are based upon your ownership, and your ownership is God. He owns you. He owns you. Once you said, yes, Lord, he owns you. He owns every facet about you and me. So for the whole next year, the couple, they wouldn't eat or drink together or live together until the ceremony. They were just basically, okay, you go that way, I go this way. During the time, the bride would never be seen. Really, what she would do is she would wear her veil, signifying that she's taken. Today, that veil is a ring. You know, you come out. I remember when I was single, before I knew Susie, and I'd go out and I'd go to these places and I'd be looking for a girl. I'd always look and say, she's taken. She's taken. So this is symbolic of the veil. But what happens on the wedding day? Does she put on a veil? You ladies, you remember? You got that veil? That means that guy that's standing up there represents Jesus. He represents the Lord. And I'm not going to look at anybody else except for him. What's that say to us as believers? Who am I to be looking at? Who am I to be caring for? I'm going to be looking at Jesus. He is my groom. I'm his bride. You're his bride. Interesting thing about this wedding, isn't it? So they're set apart. You know, they come and she has this veil and she's separated and everybody's looking around and all the other guys are going, oh, she's taken and stuff. So she was to be in a constant state of readiness because she didn't know when the groom was coming. She didn't know if he was coming today or tomorrow. You know, would you like that as a bride? Well, I want to know what day it is. I want to know what time it is. Come on, I got things I got to do. I got to put it together. She didn't know. So every day, this is Jewish tradition, okay? Every day she'd lay out her wedding dress. Every day. Talk about being excited about a groom. She'd lay out her wedding dress, and she was ready to go. And she was making herself ready, getting all decked up. Wait a minute, where is he? And she'd put it all away, Ladies, how long does it take for you to take off your makeup? You think about her. She's sitting there. She's getting all dolled up. She's ready to go. She's already curled her hair and she's everything. Okay, put it aside. Not disappointed, just, okay, I've got to be ready. So she goes through the next day. She does this day after day after day, making herself ready. What's that say to us as believers? Work out your own salvation. That's good, Sandra. What am I supposed to be doing? I'm supposed to be in less of the world and more of Jesus. I'm to be so heavenly minded that I can be heavenly good, so, you know, that earthly good. I've got to sit back and put more of the mind of Christ, have more of his word, have more of allowance of his Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me, making myself ready. The old man has got to be put away. The new man has to be lifted up. He must increase, I must decrease. Meanwhile, the groom, coming to focus on him, he would be constructing what's called in Hebrew a little mansion. A little mansion. Now, this little mansion was a little addition that would be put upon the side of his father's house. Any scriptures come into mind? Here's one. John 14:2. In my father's house are many mansions. Is that kind of fitting the bill? If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. During this time span, while the bride is in there getting herself ready, the groom has gone away. Jesus has gone away. He's there, and I go to my Father, and I'm preparing a place for you. How long has he been gone? Yeah. What kind of mansion? It's a glorious mansion. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered the hearts of man the things that God has in store for him, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. We're going to go, wow. You guys know my entrance into heaven. Wow. Look at that. Now, when all this happened, it was determined by the Father. It wasn't by the Son, it was by the Father. And when the Father would instigate or initiate this whole wedding thing, he'd call his Son and put a crown on his Son in Revelation 19, verse 12. And then he'd send him off to the wedding. But Mark, he comments on that in Mark 13:32. But of that day an hour, no one knows. Poor bride. She's every day. How long does she have to do? I don't know. It depends. But it all depends on the groom's father. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So as these little mansions were finished, the bride was made aware. Hey, do you know? Eliezer, he finished the mansion. What do you think she did? She got excited. And what she did is she went out to all of her friends, all the people that she knew, and she began to tell them, the wedding is going to happen soon. You are the guests. You are the friends. And here it says in Matthew 22:19, therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So that servants went out in the highways and gathered together all whom were found both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. Mark says this, Mark 16:15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Is that your job? That's my job. That's why I'm here. Is to tell you, go, be an evangelist. Do Paul tells Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Go, tell people, talk to people. I'll tell you what, be a modern day Charlie Kirk. I'll tell you what, he's such an inspiration. But there's another one that I look to that I say, oh, thank you, Jesus, that he followed you. He lived it out. He lived it out to the moment, and Jesus lived it out to the moment. So Matthew says, go both bad and good, whatever. Paul talks to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 6:11, and he brings up a big, long list of messed up people. I don't know what this thing is doing that, I think. A big, long list of messed up people, both good and bad. And he says, and such were some of you. Okay, look around the room today, and don't look at me. And such were some of you. I've heard some of your testimonies, and I'm going, yep, that's us. And such were some of you. But you were washed. This is the other good part of it. The old part is, don't camp out. You know, when you give a testimony, don't camp out on the glory of the old days. Talk about what he did for you and where you are and where you're going to be. So we didn't camp out. He said just five words, six words, and such were some of you. But I love those in the exceptions in the Word of God when he says, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you. How many times is he saying that? Look at this. Consider this. You were washed. You were sanctified. Sanctified, you know what that means? To be set apart. You were a person that was once this way. Now you're this way, and now you're not to go back that way. And you were justified. We all know it. We all been taught that. Just if what? If I'd never sinned. That's how the Father looks at us. That's how come when he looks at you, he sees a bride that's ready. You've accepted Jesus. You answered the call. Justified, sanctified, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Jesus gave us justification. It wasn't something I did. It wasn't something I believed. It was just something he did. And I said, yes, Lord, thank you. It was just given to me. It was the gift of God that you could be justified because of Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Moving on to the wedding. Finally, we come to this time of the wedding. This whole time, the bride had no idea of the exact day of her own wedding. Didn't know it, what day, what time. Only that it would, she knew this, it would most likely happen in the fall. And the reason for that was because of the fall harvest. They didn't want their wedding to interfere with the fall harvest that would be taking place. Also, she knew that it would most likely be on a Wednesday. Why a Wednesday? Because Thursday, the courts were open. And just in case it was found that she wasn't a virgin, she would be divorced. So that's why. So on the day of their wedding, the groom and his friends, they'd walk up and down the streets and they'd be shouting and blowing horns, making a big parade out of this whole thing. And they'd take the longest route to get to the bride. That seems like what Jesus is doing, isn't it? 1 Thessalonians 4:16 describes that. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, don't comfort each other with these things. No. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So I'm saying, the Lord's coming. Are you ready? He's going to come. Are you ready for the shout? Come up. I don't know if that's what he's going to say, but something's going to happen. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, I'll be looking at Susie. Susie will be looking at me and going, whoa, what a babe. She's changed. She was a babe before, but now she's a real babe. And now she's going, a hunk. Whoa, what happened to you? He's a hunk of love. I don't know, you guys. Imagine this bride, though, what she's been going through. On and off, come on and off. But she knows it's about time. Jesus said this to the Pharisees. You can discern the weather, but you can't discern the time. In other words, you're looking around at everything and you're thinking that's more important about the weather than you are about what's going on around us. And that's what the chide or the rebuke from Jesus to the Pharisees was about. We're not to be worried about the weather. We're to be worried about and concerned, not worried, but concerned about the time we are in. And so she was aware of that this could be today. And so I better get my dress ready. You know, this is another day. It's getting closer. And then she would hear about the trumpet. And then she'd go, "Whoa, Dad, did you hear that?" And the dad goes, "You know what's going to happen now? Come here, daughter." And he'd lay hands on her and he would lay a blessing on her. And then he would send her out the door. And off she'd go out the door to meet her groom. And then she'd meet him in the street and down they would go with each other on their way to the huppah. The huppah is the covering. The covering. God's the covering. Going to the covering. And as they stood under the huppah, they would read the contract of their marriage. And the contract is this, first of all, do you take his, but it's an agreement between the two of them. And the same happens with when we get married. But in the marriage of our life to Christ, do you love me? Then you'll keep my commandments. It's the contract. Do you love me? He said this to Peter 3 times. Tend my sheep. Lord, you know I phileo you. The contract is, do you agape me? The agape means to lay down your life to be a sacrifice for the purposes and the glory of God. Do you love me with a sacrificial love? So they would read the contract that was drawn up when they were little kids. They would read it and they would go, yes, that's us, yes. And after they would read the contract, they'd receive their blessing, and then they would go on to the little mansion. They'd proceed to the little mansion. Now, this is where the best man would come, and he would be with them. And then as they're walking along, and they're just, oh, wonderful thing, and we think about our rapture, and we're going to heaven, we're being with the Lord and stuff. They go inside the little mansion, and they consummate their marriage. John said this of himself concerning the bridegroom. John 3:29. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. But the question is, why would the best man be standing outside the door of the little mansion? And this is Jewish tradition, I'm telling you. He stood there to bear witness whether the bride was a virgin or not. He was there to hear whether or not she was a virgin. If she was, they would celebrate 7 days. For us, it's 7 years. But if not, the guests would go home, and the bride would either be divorced or she would be taken out and stoned to death. That's how serious this was. Okay, we're in the West, and we think in a Western frame of thinking, okay? For us in the West, we look at this honeymoon and in the way it was with this attached room to the father's house and the best man and all that, and they're standing out there. Wait a minute, I need a little privacy here, you know? It's a little invasive, don't you think? That's us. That's not the Jewish mindset. Jewish mindset is, wow, this is glorious. She's a virgin. And we have life together now. And for 7 days, they would separate from everybody else. And what they did is they would have a glorious time together because they didn't have to go back to work. They didn't, both of them. They could just rest and enjoy themselves and enjoy themselves and kick back for 7 days. Now, during this time, the bride was never seen. They're in their little mansion there. The groom, on the other hand, he'd occasionally step out and he would greet people. Then he would go get some food, and he'd get some gifts for his bride. Okay, here's some more. Ephesians 4, verse 7 through 8. But to each one of us, grace has been given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. You could put yourself in there. You put your name in there. Okay, there's more. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift. Wait a minute. How come this has never been told to me? I'm telling you. A gift, minister it to one another. You have a gift. You have been gifted by God. You have a gift to give to others for this purpose, as a good steward of the manifold grace of God. 1 Corinthians 12:7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is to given to one for the profit of all. It's not for individual just gratification, self-satisfaction, whatever you want to say of that. It's for you. My gift is for you, and your gift is for me. We're to share it for the profit and the benefit of every one of us here. Do you know that there's no cliques in the family of God? If there is, it's wrong. Are you of Paul? Are you of Cephas? Are you of Apollos? Is Christ divided? No. We are one body, and we're never, ever, ever to come in and allow us and allow a clique to take, which happens and which has happened, I got to say, many times in many places and churches that I have pastored. And I do my best to go break them up, and then it ends up being a big roo-hah when I do. Well, what are you doing? You're breaking up our fellowship. And I go, you're not fellowshipping. You only bless us four and no more kind of thing. No, it's bless all of us. Bless all of us. You got a word of knowledge? Speaking of that, how many of you have heard of David Guzak? Most everybody has heard of David. He's a personal friend of mine. I got a cough. When we came out here this last time, just 4 years ago, before we left, we were in Santa Maria, and David and I and a couple other guys, pastors, were at a breakfast there in Santa Maria. And I said I was going back to the south. And one of the guys said, well, what are you doing that for? You know, we need you out here and this and that. And at that time, I was a missionary pastor. And I said, well, you know, the COVID has shut down missions. So there's nothing here. I can't do anything. And he says, well, you know, we need you here. And David was sitting over there, and he said, you know what, just leave him alone. You know, God's in control. God's got him where he wants him to be. And if it's out there, then it's out there. And so I saw David at the conference, and I went up to him, and I said, David, do you remember when we were sitting there at the table with all these guys? And he said, yeah. I said, do you remember how there was kind of an objection for me to go out? And he goes, yeah. I said, do you remember what you said? And he goes, you know, and I repeated what he said. I said, at that moment, I said, I don't think you realized that you were in the Spirit and you were giving a word of knowledge to me, because everything that you said took place. And he went, wow. And sometimes I'm telling you, if you walk in the Spirit, you allow yourself to call on the Holy Spirit, let him lead you. You'll have moments where you'll say something and you will tell somebody something, and it's not you, but you think it's you, but it's the Lord. And they need to hear those words. I needed to hear those words, and what they did is they comforted me for that moment, because I was feeling kind of rotten about, you know, these guys want me here and I'm going out there. But it really was a word from the Lord. And so I just want to encourage you, the gifts that you do have, we're to look into them and to cultivate them and to allow them to be useful, and it's for the benefit of all of us. Do you need to be encouraged? I do. Okay, enough of that. Then after 7 days, the groom, he would come out with his bride, present her to the father and to the rest of the family and friends and everybody, and then they would enter into the marriage supper. And that's the last part of their wedding ceremony. Jude says this, Jude 24, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory and exceeding joy." You know, isn't that interesting? All of these things are fitting all together, and they're all throughout. And these guys, they didn't all sit down and kind of put this all together. One would say this, Matthew would say this, Mark would say this, Jude would say this, and then we put them all together in light of this sequence of this marriage supper, and we're going, there's a pattern here. There's a message here, a message in the message. Now, all that's important because I want to tell you that there are those who would like to put us in the middle of the tribulation. This is why this marriage is so important for us, or even at the end of the tribulation. Because God chose the Jewish people to be an example to us, to be an illustration. Isaiah said, Isaiah 42:6, "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and I will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant, a contract to the people, as a light to the Gentiles." It's important. We can't just dismiss that when it comes down to who they are. They are. When I was sitting next to, I can say his name because I already said it, Neil. When I was sitting next to Neil, I said, "You know, you're the apple of his eye. And you know that? I've been grafted in. So as I've been grafted in, I'm right there with you. I'm a Jew by adoption." And he looked at me and just smiled. I says, "I'm not ashamed to claim my Savior and to say that I am Jewish because of Jesus. I'm not Jewish by birth, but I'm Jewish by nature and being born again." If you're born again, you're very much Jewish. Whoa. Didn't see that coming, did you? Romans 11:11 says, "I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall?" Speaking of Israel, certainly not. God is not done with Israel. Point blank. He's not done with them. He's put them on the shelf for a bit. He's not done. Certainly not. But through their fall to provoke them to jealousy. Who? Us. We are provoking them to jealousy. Salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, if their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? When they come in, watch out. When they grab a hold of who their Messiah is, watch out. So we can look forward to this glorious honeymoon with the Lord for 7 days, 7 years for us. As his bride, at the end of that 7 years, he's going to present us to the Father, and then we'll return with him. And that's where we go into the next portion of Revelation. Read ahead in chapter 19. There's one who's coming on a great white horse. It's time of victory. It's time of victory. And they would sing, "Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns." That's us. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. And that's why we come today, and why this is so important for us when we take communion. As we take communion, we're to remember what he did. "Do this in remembrance of me," he would say. He'd take the bread, and then you'd break it. And so I'm going to ask the elders to come up, and we're going to pass out the elements. Hold on to them until we're all ready to take them together. You know, when we think about the night when Jesus was betrayed, it was supposed to be a celebration. It was a Passover celebration. It was a celebration of deliverance of that. We were in bondage. We were in a place where we had no life and death was all around us. So that night when he was with the disciples, he would take the bread, and as he would take the bread, and he would distribute it to them and give that to them. And as he gave that to them, he says, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do in remembrance of me." Within 24 hours, things would change. He would be arrested. He would be beaten. He would be tortured. But in that night before the garden, it was a wonderful time with them. But it was a time of brokenness. He would say, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat of it in remembrance of me." In other words, he was pointing ahead to them to show them something's going to happen. They didn't realize it. Like Peter would say, "Lord, not you." But he would say, "Take and eat it in remembrance of me." That means something's going to change. Are you going away? What are we going to do? And so when we take it, we look back. They were looking forward, and they hadn't even come to the cross yet. They were looking forward. Lord, we thank you for the brokenness of what you did for us, Lord. Lord, Isaiah says, "By your stripes we're healed." He also says that you were marred more than any man. We can't even imagine what you did for us, Lord. But in love and in thankfulness and in trust and in faith, we take and receive this for you, Lord God, and for what you did. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all partake together. That same night, he took the cup of the new contract, the new covenant. And he would begin to describe, as we looked at the Jewish wedding, he'd begin to describe what was on this contract. And on this contract was not like the old. The old contract was written in stone, was written in a stone that had no feelings, no care, no emotion, no concern. You do this, you live. You do this, you die. This contract says, "I die. I take whatever you have and whatever you've done, and I place it upon myself. Your death is now my death." What? "Your death is now my death. My life now is your life." The Jews have a phrase today. It's chayim, to life. This is the blood of the new covenant. Things have changed, folks. Thank you. Things have changed. And so as we sip this new covenant wine, we're agreeing to the contract. The contract is this. Do you believe on Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he died for you? Do you believe that he rose again on the third day? Do you believe that he's at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you? Do you believe that? That's the contract. Good contract. Lord, we do look at the new contract, the new covenant, written in your blood. And Lord, we say thank you for what it did. It washed us clean, washed us right, justified it, made us whole. And Lord, I pray that you would help us never to turn back, to turn forward and keep going forward, Lord. So, Lord, we receive this for your praise and glory, and we do proclaim your death till you come. And we do say that, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And let's all stand and bless each other. In Numbers, there's a blessing, and in that blessing it says, and this is how you shall bless the people. You become, we are priests and kings unto God, Scripture says. You become a priest in the respect that you can pronounce a blessing on a brother, on a sister, on those who are covenant people, covenant believers in Christ. And here's how it goes. The Lord bless thee,
the Lord bless thee,
and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. And I always like to just pause.